Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
From the studios of the Bible Broadcasting Network, we present Christian Classics, reading from a book that has influenced the lives of many people. Our narrator is Lynn Brooks.
Today we'll be reading chapter 10 from Rachel. Miss Hamilton rose from the table and tried in vain to impede the flood of Mrs. Kalinske's angry words. As easily could she have stayed Niagara. Each attempt only added fresh fuel to the flame. The monologue continued. With volcanic fury, the scorching, withering words burst forth in shrill crescendo. A New Testament! A New Testament! What for you bring a New Testament into a Jewish house? Don't you know we Jews never touch mit our little finger such a book? It is poison! We should spit at it! What you mean, coming here to my dear daughter when her husband, he is away yet? Why don't you stay home by your own house? You should ought to be ashamed of yourself, making such a fool of yourself. How much you get paid for turning Jews to English? Why don't you work at something real yet? Can't you get no decent job? I will get for you a job. I will get for you a job where you belong, in jail yet. In jail you will not be telling Jewesses they must believe in Jesus.
Once again Miss Hamilton attempted to speak. Mrs. Kalinske cut her off furiously.
What? What you say? Jesus? Jesus, he is the Messiah? How dare you go for to talk such wickedness? Jesus, he is not Messiah. Messiah, he is not come yet. What you say?
She fairly screamed her scorn.
Jesus, he is the Son of God. Why you talk it such foolishness? Have God got a son? How could God have a son? Believe me, I'm telling you, you are talking wicked, wicked foolishness. What, how dare you say such a thing? Jesus, he is himself God. What? God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Three gods is one God. Are you crazy? Is three one, and one is three? Believe me, I'm telling you, you was crazy. You was crazy in the head yet.
With scarcely a pause for breath between, the torrent of furious words continued to belch forth.
Christians! Christians! I know all which I wants to know about Christians. It is Christians what gets poor little Jewish children's mit candy and ice cream and then locks them up in cellars and burns Jesus crosses on them. And it is Christians what kills all the Jews they can. You save the Jews, kill Jesus. Well, please, will you let me ask you one question? How many Jews is it but the Christians kill? Believe me, I am telling you, I live in Russia, and my own brother and six cousins, they was killed in the pogroms by Christians. Don't you go for to try and tell me nothings about Christians.
Rachel, chagrined beyond expression, had attempted here and there to interrupt her mother-in-law, but she was brushed back like a fly. Miss Hamilton flashed her many glances of loving sympathy and understanding, but Rachel's humiliation was complete. She tried to compose herself, to get a grip upon the situation, but she was conscious of miserable eclipse and defeat. At last, Mrs. Kalinske, her breath almost spent and her flow of words exhausted, suddenly seized Miss Hamilton by the arms and savagely shoved her towards the doorway.
You get out of here! Oh, don't you never dare to show your face in here again, learning my daughter about your testament on Jesus. Shame on yourself. I warn you, if ever my son see you here by his wife again, he will wring your head from your neck like it was a hen's. You get out from here quick.
And then Rachel gathered strength and did assert herself. Her pride was stung to its very depths. She realized that here was a crisis. Either she was mistress of her home or she was not. With dignity, controlling her anger by a supreme effort of will, she placed her arm detainingly around Miss Hamilton and stood between her and her irate mother-in-law. Her voice was low and cool, but firm.
"Mrs. Kalinsky," she said quietly. She never would call her mother-in-law mother, which fact gave added grievance. "Mrs. Kalinsky, Miss Hamilton is my dear friend, and I say she shall not go. She is always welcome in my home." Oh, this was a new torch to Mrs. Kalinsky's rage.
"What? Your home? Your home, is it? I should like to know. It is mine son's home, mine Maxie's."
"Yes, and I am your son's wife, and his home is my home, too."
"Your home, is it? If you want to know it, ladies, whose home it is, I am telling you it is mine home. And why? Because I pay for it myself, the rent. $18.50 every month I pay, and always $2.75, the very lowest for electric. So that is whose home it is, I will have you both to know yet."
Miss Hamilton, having donned her hat and coat, was tactfully withdrawing, signaling understanding glances to Rachel, when just at that instant the door was flung open and in walked Max. Never before had he arrived at 5 o'clock, but this day of all days he elected to come home at that hour. Quickly he perceived the storm signals. He looked first at his mother's angry, flaming face, and then at his wife. And then he looked squarely and questioningly at the charming young woman who was a stranger to him. He was not kept waiting long for the desired explanation. Upon sight of him, Mrs. Kalinsky's vials of fury burst forth afresh. Before the storm gathered full momentum, however, Miss Hamilton quickly and quietly left, as that seemed to her experienced judgment the wisest thing to do. As she went out the door, she pressed Rachel's hand in a warm, loving, understanding clasp. She longed to take her in her arms, but she dared not. It would only make further trouble for the poor little Jewish wife. She did not even speak. All she could do was to commit Rachel Kalinsky to the Heavenly Father's care. This she did, day after day, fervently, pleadingly, longingly, claiming her by faith for Christ. Miss Hamilton gone, Mrs. Kalinsky rehearsed the indignity in Max's astounded, grief-stricken ears. Rachel? His wife, visited by a Christian missionary? Reading the New Testament and talking aloud of Jesus? How long had this fearful thing been going on, and he had never dreamed it? He looked at Rachel with sorrowful reproach in his dark eyes. Rachel waited for his accusation and rebuke. She nerved herself as with bars of steel for what was coming. He spoke only 9 words, but they broke her heart. Looking full into her eyes, he cried bitterly, "Oh, Rachel. And I thought that I could trust you." Bursting into a flood of violent weeping, Rachel withdrew into the little inner parlor, closed the door behind her, and flung herself face downward on the couch. There she gave way to passionate sobbing, her tense nerves snapped at last. As the storm gradually spent itself, she listened to Max and Mrs. Kalinsky talking in the kitchen. The tones were excited, but kept low that she might not hear the words. At length, however, there was a distinctly audible command from Mrs. Kalinsky, her voice purposely directed towards the door closed between them.
"Come, mein son, mein precious Maxie, you will come home to Mama's house. Mama will make you there a nice hot supper yet. Come, mein poor darling boy, you must come home with Mama."
Rachel heard the door slam behind them. She gave way to another fit of weeping. At length, utterly prostrated, she stumbled her way into the kitchen and found herself some supper. Every mouthful choked her. With heavy feet and a heavier heart, she washed her supper dishes and the tea dishes. At sight of the tea table, as she and Miss Hamilton had left it, the tears started afresh. Mechanically, she swept the floor, she fed the cat. She set the table for breakfast, she lit the samovar for Max's tea, and then, because she had nothing else to do, she polished the already gleaming brasses. Then she sat down idly and waited. 10 o'clock?
11 o'clock. Midnight. Still no Max. The fire went out. She was numb with cold and terror. 12:30. 12:45. Again she lighted the samovar. At 1 o'clock he came. His face was terribly white and drawn. He looked down at her a full moment in mingled reproach and grief. Rachel waited tensely for the blow to fall. For full 10 minutes, Max spoke absolutely not one word. His silence was more terrible than speech. Rachel waited in tensest suspense. He sat down at the table in the ingle nook, an object of abject despair. His shoulders were dejected and limp. His elbows rested on the table, with his chin buried in his cupped hands. His derby hat was shoved back from his forehead, aslant over one ear. His face was ashen. The mouth was drawn. The feverish dark eyes stared straight ahead, seeing nothing. He saw nothing. He said nothing. He was numb. Oh, Rachel could stand it no longer. She poured his glass of tea and placed it before him. "Maxie, dearest, your tea? Won't you drink it?" Savagely, he thrust it from him. Still he saw nothing, said nothing. Then slowly he drew the glass back to him and toyed with the teaspoon while Rachel, aghast, stood looking at him dumbly. Suddenly he raised the tea to his lips and choked it down at one rapid draught, and then he broke the dreadful silence. He laughed. Bitterly, scornfully, reproachfully. "Well," he stood up and confronted his trembling little wife. "We won't be having our tea many more times in this house, Rachel. We're moving out." Rachel did not grasp the import of the words, but Max's menacing attitude and his tone so strange and dreadful struck terror to her heart. "What? What do you mean, Max? Oh, darling, do not look at me like that. I cannot bear it. What is it, Max? What do you mean?"
"That's what I mean. Exactly that. We're moving out. And it's all your fault."
"Moving? Out? Moving out from here, Max? Moving? Oh, Maxie. Maxie, why?"
"Why? Because you can't be trusted to be left alone. That's why."
"Oh, Maxie, don't say that. Don't. Don't listen to me, dearest. You do not understand." Pleadingly, she flung her arms around his neck and lifted up her face to his. With an oath, the first he had ever addressed to his beautiful little Jewish bride in his life, he flung her off. A torrent of angry words burst forth. "Don't come loving around me. A lot you ever cared for me, Rachel Mendelssohn. Yes, I understand, all right. I thought I had married a true Jewish wife, and here all the time you have been mixing up with Christians, bringing missionaries right to my own table. We even... when you thought I was safely away and would never know it, allowing them to read from that accursed New Testament, to talk to you about Jesus Christ, and you, my wife, and this a Jewish home." "Ha! A home. Well, I hope you're satisfied now with what you've done. It's our home no longer. You have broken it up all by your deceitfulness. Broken it up, I say, you have. You..." He flung himself into the chair again, and burying his head in his arms upon the table, he sobbed aloud. Today on Christian Classics, we have been reading from Rachel by Agnes Scott Kent, published by the William B. Erdman's Publishing Company.
You have been listening to Christian Classics, narrated by Lynn Brooks. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.
That concludes the online feature. By the way, BBN is on social media. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.